Hello. This is Collective Noun. For a high quality program, press 1. You have pressed 2.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
How would you like to never pay for anything from a vending machine again in your life?
Very much so, thank you. I'm still listening. I'm still here. I haven't left the meeting yet.
Well, that's great because I have some information. I've come across this today. I'm going to share it on the show tonight, Zach, which is, it's a vending machine hack that I have been handed by somebody who would be very much in the know.
Yeah.
And I have been assured that this will mean you will never have to pay to use a vending machine again.
If you can come through with this, Dom,
yeah,
it would be the greatest thing you could give the world.
I agree.
This could be the gift.
That's it.
This could be what we're remembered for.
Now, I don't know if this hack works yet. I've been handed it on. I've been dwelling on it all day. We've decided we're going to test it on the show tonight with our vending machine here at work. If I can get this working, I imagine this will be the last show we ever do.
Mm.
I imagine we'll travel the world sharing secrets of this hack. I imagine, we'll be able to feed ourselves forever. We're not going to need money anymore. I think, you know what, I'll start getting things for free from vending machines, selling them for 50% of the price next to it, making a profit.
If you have a vending machine at your work, at your school, at your university, wherever you go daily, even at the train station, before 11 o'clock tonight, we will have details on how you can get free food from that machine.
This is going to be a historic night. I mean, I'm just saying, Zach, I think there's a fair chance that in about 50 years' time, there'll be kids sitting in history classes at high school hearing about Wednesday, May the 9th, 2018, Collective Noun's Late Night Show.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Matt Damon, international movie star, has been spotted in the oddest place. Usually you'd expect to find him, I don't know, in a fancy restaurant in LA, maybe in New York, Dom, promoting a new film.
On the red carpet would be, I would think, Matt Damon's natural habitat.
Matt Damon has been spotted in a Kmart in Ballina, a small town on the east coast of New South Wales.
Now, I would think if I saw Matt Damon in Ballina's Kmart, and I imagine Ballina just has the one Kmart, I would imagine I would think that's probably not Matt Damon.
You'd think it was a lookalike, especially because if you see the photo, there's a photo online on, I think it's Ballina's Facebook page.
Ballina has a Facebook page?
Or an Instagram page.
Okay.
He's kind of has facial hair. He's in a hoodie.
Yep.
You'd think, like, is that a Matt Damon lookalike? Like, surely Matt Damon isn't in Kmart in Ballina.
It just shows that even Matt Damon isn't immune to the Kmart pull that's gotten the rest of the world, or the rest of the country. Even with his millions and millions of superstar, movie star money, he still gets Kmart savings.
Well, it looks like that he's gone for a bargain because he has 2 plush toys with him.
Does he?
What are the teddy bears for? We don't know.
No.
But he's just like us.
Look, it is. I mean, can I just say to begin with, I feel like Matt Damon's been around a lot lately. I feel like this is like the 10th Matt Damon sighting that we've had in the news in Australia.
That's what they should have.
What
at the
mean?
End of the news, after the weather, they should be like, there's an increased chance of seeing Matt Damon in this area tomorrow.
I mean, I don't.
High probability of a Matt Damon sighting.
He keeps saying in interviews, I like to go to Australia to be inconspicuous, but he's popping up so often.
Apparently he's just bought property in Byron Bay next to Chris Hemsworth.
So we're going to get Matt Damon's stories for the next 20 years.
I hope so. Matt Damon.
I'm not necessarily against it. I'm just saying I would think that seeing Matt Damon in such a mundane place would feel a little bit underwhelming.
You don't expect to see celebrities doing everyday things.
No.
It kind of messes with your brain a bit.
Like, okay, if you visited America, Zach, you get off the plane, you're in LA. You go to Hollywood Boulevard and you see George Clooney walking into a premiere. Makes sense.
Yeah, that's where you expect to see him.
Right?
If he's at Bunnings eating a sausage.
That's it.
That's kind of a little different.
It's just a bit weird. We want to ask, 131060, have you seen a celebrity in a mundane place?
Can you do better than Matt Damon in Kmart, Dom?
I think I can, actually. I was in Melbourne some years ago. I was driving on a family road trip. And I saw host of The Block and former Backyard Blitz star Scott Cam getting a 7-Eleven Slurpee.
Why not?
He'd gone the extra large size. Scotty.
He's probably built up quite a thirst working on the site. Yeah. What flavour did he go with? Can I have a guess?
Yes.
I think he would be a raspberry guy.
He actually had a bit of each.
Oh, okay. He was a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. And I believe...
That's the cultured way to have a Slurpee.
I believe they have in some 7-Elevens like a bit of a deal that you can get like an anaconda like gummy snake for 50 cents with a Slurpee.
He got one of them as well?
Got two of them.
Wow.
So, I mean, I don't
know. Well, when you're on that type of money, you can splash out and get two anacondas.
That's true. And all I'll say, Zach, is I was next to use the Slurpee machine after Scott Cam.
Wow.
He moved on and I moved in there and was straight after him.
131060, have you ever seen a celebrity doing an ordinary thing?
We have Simone in Brisbane. Simone, what was the celebrity and where was it?
I used to work at Kmart at Toowong. It was back in 2001. Mm. Olivia Newton-John came in to have, it was a tablecloth material measured.
Okay, this is a scoop. How large was the table, Simone?
Oh, it was a long time ago.
I imagine it was huge.
A big table.
I imagine that's a huge, it's a huge table for Olivia Newton-John's huge parties that she's throwing.
Well, you'd think so. Was it an expensive fabric? Do you remember anything about it, Simone?
No, definitely wasn't expensive. Oh, it might have been curtain. I think it was like a lacy one.
Okay.
But I did actually, when I realised who I thought it was, I did verify that it was her the next day on the internet. So yep. She was in the area. So I'm pretty sure it was her.
All right, well, maybe we could have done this phone topic, Zach. Have you seen a celebrity in Kmart?
Yeah, that's true.
We've got Matt Damon, we've got Olivia Newton-John. We got Nat in Geelong. Nat, what was the celebrity and where was it?
So I met Molly Ringwald from like 16 Candles and Breakfast Club and all that in London about 14 years ago.
Okay, so Molly Ringwald, the famous actress, what was the context? Where'd you see her?
So we were in a park. I was on a family holiday in London with my family and we were in a park and we were just standing around and my dad was like, oh, that lady looks kind of familiar, whatever. And then a few minutes later or so, she comes up and we're just having a picnic or whatever. Mm. And she comes up and she says, oh, sorry, do you mind taking a photo of me and my family? Okay. So my dad took a photo of Molly Ringwald and her family. Like, so my dad took a photo of a celebrity for her instead of asking for a photo.
Okay, well, look, when a celebrity asks you for a photo, it's an interesting dynamic. Yeah. I don't know where that puts you on the bell curve of fame when you're asking people to get the photo instead of the other way around.
We have Crystal in Sydney. Who'd you see, Crystal?
Yeah, I saw... Now, like, an airport is usually a fairly famous place to see famous people,
yeah.
But certainly not in Townsville in Queensland. And I saw Pete and Manu.
Pete and Manu from My Kitchen Rules. What were they doing in Townsville? Yeah. Just catching a Cowboys game?
I believe it was around the time when there was a team that
yes.
was actually from
That's
Townsville,
what it would
two
be.
Army boys. Yeah.
That's what
but,
it
like,
be.
It was... I just sat down waiting for my family to come out of the gate and like three chairs down, I happened to just look over and they were just cash just sitting there like reading their books.
You'd think they would be, you'd think they'd be in the Qantas Club, wouldn't
you? You'd think
so. They're just sitting out there like the rest of us.
I would, I mean, Pete wouldn't be able to eat much from the food court at an airport, would he?
That's true.
He'd be in a bit of trouble because I don't think, last I went to an airport food court, they didn't have paleo options. Tim in Melbourne, Tim, what's the celebrity you've seen doing an ordinary thing?
Hi, how you doing? I was up in New South Wales driving down the country road, stopped at a kebab trailer on the side. You know, they have the little areas you can pull over and take a 5-minute nap or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, I pulled over and I'm ordering kebabs for the family and I got this guy standing there. He kind of looked at me. I realised it was Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, Mad Max, having a kebab on the side of the road.
I guess you wouldn't expect, like, I guess you would doubt the fact it was Mel Gibson. Maybe that's why you can get away with it when you're that famous.
What type of kebab, Tim?
It was like lamb. It was the whole, like chicken, lamb.
Yep.
It was everything.
Combo.
Yeah,
a little bit of everything.
Oh, well, Mel Gibson can afford the nicest kebab yep. on the menu. Do you know what? I reckon Mel Gibson would walk in, he would put a $20 note on the counter and he'd say,
one of everything.
One of everything. I also got Chanel on 131060. Chanel, where'd you see a celebrity in an unusual place?
So I work at a restaurant in Brisbane and I saw Clive Palmer in having a milkshake on a day that he was supposed to be sick from court.
Not sick enough to enjoy a milkshake, obviously.
Former politician, billionaire Clive
now,
Palmer.
Meme maker, I believe.
getting odd looks from other people in the cafe, Chanel, or was he just happily enjoying his milkshake?
No, he's been in a few times, but I think we all know to keep our distance. So we just let him enjoy and laugh behind the counter.
All of a sudden, he ducks behind the table as the judge walks past.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, I, like many people, have a dream of becoming an emoji. My dream is to become the farmer emoji.
We've been following this on the show for a little while now. You moved out of an apartment into a house at the end of last year. And ever since then, you've started to fancy yourself firstly as a gardener and now a farmer.
Well, it's a small backyard, but compared to an apartment, I feel like I'm on acreage. Right. And I'd like to sow some seed around, grow a few things, become a farmer. My goal is to become the farming emoji. Mm. If you've seen the farming emoji on your phone, I need a straw hat. Already got that. Mm. Overalls, I can easily get those one day when it comes. The difficulty is going to be the carrots that the farmer is holding. I need to grow 3 carrots from scratch. Dom, I have an update on how close I'm getting. Okay. I have both good news and bad news.
Well, last time we chatted about this, which was a little while ago, I think a month ago now probably, you revealed it was probably going to take you 6 months to grow carrots. And I said, I'm not sure I'm still going to be interested in this by October of 2018. There'll be Christmas decorations on the shelves in shopping centres by the time you've got something close to carrots.
Well, we'll start with the bad news.
Yep.
I've been banned from buying any more plants. There came a breaking point in my relationship with my wife where yesterday I impulse bought a capsicum plant.
You've been cut off.
Well, Dom, well, you tell me what you would do, right?
Yeah.
I'm at Bunnings. Yeah. I see this capsicum plant full of flowers.
Yeah.
Now, they flower before the fruit comes. So practically every flower is a capsicum. There's probably 10 flowers on this plant. The plant is $4. Do you know how much capsicums go for in the supermarket? Probably about $4, $5 each.
This is such a weird addiction.
I'm getting free capsicums. All I got to do is water it and wait.
Okay, you keep saying this. You've been saying it for a long time now. Can we just go back to your cherry tomato genius plan? Because your thinking was...
Oh, okay, excuse me. I've run into some problems with cherry tomatoes. The first ones died. I didn't pull them off in time. Okay. The second ones were eaten by possums. Not my fault.
So you spent over $70 on cherry tomatoes, on getting the plants, on, you know.
But I learnt a lot. You can't put a price on what I learnt.
My point is, how much in debt are you already on this vegetable scheme?
Yeah, well, I'm starting behind the eight ball a little bit. But every farmer knows you have to invest in the equipment first. Sure. It's a long game.
Okay, so you come home with the capsicum plants and your wife says never again.
Yeah, well, she's looking into the backyard and I have like about 30 pots out there. Yeah. I have a small veggie patch. I've had to buy large nets to keep the possums out. So really it's overtaken at least 50% of the yard. And she said, I reckon we can just try to grow what we have for a while.
Oh, no.
And you not buy anything else. And I think, you know what? That's actually a good point.
Look, it's not a bad point. I think almost it would be healthy of me to repossess some of your pots.
No.
No, I just don't know.
They're growing really well. My beans have beans on them. My tomatoes have tomatoes on them. I just mentioned the capsicums. They're about to have capsicums on them soon.
I knew someone many years ago who got a puppy and everyone was like, that's great, they got a dog. And then a few years later, they had 6 dogs. Yeah. And everyone's like, all right, you might be overdoing it on the dogs thing.
Yeah.
I feel like you've done the same thing with plants. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there who are pretty fanatical about their plants. I've got a friend who I think loves their plants more than any person they know.
Mm.
However, I think every week for the past 3 months, you have come in and told me about either a new plan you're doing in your backyard, a new plant you've bought or are looking at buying. How often are you on Facebook Marketplace looking at outdoor planting, gardening supplies?
Pretty often.
Daily.
Would you like to know the good news?
What's the good news?
Before the freeze came on plant spending
in
my family this afternoon, literally minutes before... I had put carrot seeds in the ground. We're 16 weeks away from me becoming the farming emoji. That's great news. The countdown is on. The seeds are in the ground.
Okay. All right, so that's all going well. Yeah. That's if it's a good crop. If it's a good harvest.
No, I planted a lot. If I can't get 3 from that, I'll hang up my hat.
Okay, well, that's...
I'll hang up my farming hat and the dream will be over.
All right, well, now we've got some stakes on the line here. If you, so in 4 months' time, which what? That takes us to September.
I'll have to double take how long carrots, I have to double check how long carrots take, but I think it's about 16 weeks.
So mid-September, when footy finals are in full swing, that's how far away we're talking at the moment.
It's very possible we won't be on air. Our jobs aren't that secure, and I might be farming for a living by that stage.
But by mid-September, if you haven't, if you've grown carrots, you're the farming emoji, yep. And I will kneel before you and say I was wrong.
Yeah, we'll be enjoying carrots in this studio.
Yeah,
in 16 weeks' time.
And if you haven't, you hang up the farming hat and you retire for
a
good.
A deal's a deal.
Okay,
farmers are people of their word, and I stand by it.
Well, now we just sit and wait for 4 months.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
How would you like to have free vending machine food for the rest of your life? Well, that might be within reach, Zach. Earlier today, I have been handed a code that I am told by somebody who would know unlocks vending machines to give you anything you want for free.
What you're currently doing,
yep,
is you're currently coming into the bar,
mm,
where I'm hanging out just after a long day of work, and you're saying, they've left the back door of the bank unlocked. I think I know how to get in, and I think I can crack the safe.
All right, well, let me give you the backstory. So, earlier today, Zach, I went into the Department of Transport to file some paperwork. And you know, it can be a long wait in the Department of Transport, as it was today. But as I was sitting there was an older man, I'd say mid-60s, sitting next to me, and we struck up a bit of a conversation. He told me he just recently retired from being a vending machine repairman and installer for 35 years.
It's a long time, a lot of experience.
I would say one of the more experienced vending machine, perhaps, people in the country.
Mm-hmm.
This is when he tells me, he's like, oh, I shouldn't tell you this, but do you know there's actually a code? And I was like, a code for what? This is when he says, a code that will get you anything you want from a vending machine for free. Now, I felt like Charlie at the Chocolate Factory at this stage, Zach. I am being handed the pass to a whole world full of sugary delights from a man who's retiring.
How long is this code? Is it a code that you could just guess by going up to the vending machine and putting in? Is it 000?
It is not.
Is it 123456789?
No, it's not. This code is so complex,
yeah,
that nobody would accidentally get there.
How many digits?
It is 9 digits with numerous other keys you press along the way.
And what's the idea? Why has this been invented? Why is this in a vending machine?
So the story he told me was it's a test function, right? So generally they put this in there because when they install a vending machine, they need to test them. And most people who install vending machines forget to turn the test feature off once they put the food in there.
Right.
So this is something that should be turned off, but he said nobody remembers to turn them off. Nobody remembers it. Now, he did caution me. And we need to know before we go into this. He said, technically, it's stealing.
Okay, well, don't say that. Why did you say that? We could have gone through this with a clean record. That was never, the word stealing was never brought up.
Before I bring people in on this heist, you need to know what we're facing.
Okay.
I think it's only fair that I let you know straight up front. But he told me many days on the job, he'd get away with it. He said they never notice a breaker or two. They never notice a Kit Kat or two. Nobody notices. Now, we have a vending machine here at work, Zach. I have not tried this code out yet. I'm thinking, let's give it a go tonight and see. I mean, if this works, I don't know what this means for the world going forward. I imagine I'll eat like a king for the rest of my life.
Certainly.
I certainly will never pay for a vending machine again. I'm on the record as that.
Would you like to know what the people on Instagram are saying? How likely they think this code is to work?
Well, go to Collective Noun's Instagram page if you want to see a bit more information on the heist we're about to try to pull off. What are they saying?
53% of people don't think the code you found will work.
Okay, that's nearly 50% of people think it will. That's how I'm twisting that in the press release.
But the majority of people, the larger percentage, are against you.
Well, you know what? So they should be. Ocean's 11 and all the other great heist movies, it starts unlikely, doesn't it?
Mm.
Because if it was likely, it wouldn't be a very interesting film.
Yep.
But I think it's going to work. What I'm saying, this guy, Zach, was a very trustworthy person. And as he passed it on to me, I could tell this was his legacy being passed on to me. And I think I don't think he knows the monster he's unleashed.
Up next, we will be in the work kitchen in front of the vending machine trying Dom's code. Will we have free Mars bars forever?
Yep.
Or, Dom, once again, have you been roped into a scam?
Right across. across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
What a historic moment you have tuned into. We might be about to hack into a vending machine. Here's the story so far. Earlier today, Zach, I met a man well in line at the Department of Transport. He has spent his life repairing and installing vending machines, and he has given me a code, a numerical code, that he says if you key into a vending machine, we'll get you free snacks.
This is the closest to cracking a safe you're ever going to get, Dom. Yes. And really, to be honest, instead of money, you would rather get Mars bars anyway.
Oh, entirely. This would be my dream scenario. If I opened up a safe and saw a Kit Kat in there, I'd rather that than 100 grand.
We're standing in front of Works vending machine. There is so much to choose from, Dom. Our eyes are just lighting up.
Yep.
You have the code. You're not willing to say it on the radio, but you told me you've memorized
it. I haven't even given it to you.
You
I'm
have
not
to be
sharing
so
this.
Careful.
Well, I feel a bit like, I mentioned before, I feel like Charlie, who's been given the keys to the chocolate factory. I can't just hand that to anybody.
No.
Willy Wonka has entrusted this confectionery secret to me.
Yep.
And I'm going to protect it with my life.
Okay. So are you willing to put it in?
Well, we'll
try
before
it out.
That, so the first step of this code, Zach, is we need to pick a product we want. Hmm. And I'm going to pass that duty over to you. You're looking through the vending machine right now. We have Twisties in there. We have Kit Kat Chunky. We've got some Dairy Milk Hazelnut. We have all your sweets of soft drinks down the bottom, some various other things, bottles of water. What are you thinking?
Well, shouldn't we go for the highest cost item?
That's not a bad idea.
The U Foods.
Yes,
it's a tropical protein pancake. U Foods.
I don't know.
That goes for $10.
I don't want that.
That's pretty good, though. $10.
Yeah, but I don't want to eat the tropical protein pancake.
Well, under the protein pancakes, we then go down to the chocolate chip cookie.
There
that's
we go.
$5.
Let's go that.
Okay.
A chocolate chip cookie, and we can split that to celebrate.
That's number 34. Do you have to put that in, the number?
You have to put that in, Zach. And
so what
like...
do you do? You put in your 9-digit code.
No.
Then you put in the number?
You put in the number first.
Okay, you put in the number, then the 9-digit code.
Okay. Oh, are you ready to test this, Zach? This is history-making radio. If this works, the world will never be the same again.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I'm so nervous and so excited about this. I really think... I'm certain this is going to work. All right, so...
Dom's bending down. He's in front of the vending machine.
Firstly, we are entering the code of the choc chip cookie. That is 34. And now, straight away, I follow that up with my sequence.
Starts with a hash, everybody. Starts with a hash. There's a 7 in there. There's a 3. There's a lot of hashes, if I'm honest with you. Dom's putting it in. We must be getting close to the end.
And we wait 10 seconds. 8. 7. 6. Come on.
I'm not seeing anything.
5. Come on.
There's no movement.
4. 3. Come on. 2. 1.
No. Well, who would have thought the random you ran into at the department
hasn't worked
of transportation?
It hasn't worked. I was so adamant.
Was not able to give you a code to get free things out of a vending machine forever.
I've sunken to the floor in despair, in defeat. I was so adamant.
On reflection, how you ever thought that was going to work?
Hang on, I got a second plan.
Okay, Dom's putting his hand up the vending machine. It's possibly stuck now. I don't know what's happening. The police have busted in during the heist, and he's panicked. He's gone for plan B, and it's not a good option.
What a shame. What a horrible night for humanity.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
This is Collective Noun's Out of Context News.
Making Out of Context News tonight, MasterChef judge George Colombaris revealed that the show's standards have dropped this year.
Like, I don't care if it's burnt, I don't care if it's undercooked, overcooked, whatever.
Also, Chris Hemsworth likes to think that there are other roles he can play outside of Thor.
I don't know. I mean, I like the idea of thinking there's something else out there. I just don't know what. I haven't. None of it's ever been confirmed, but I like the mystery to it all.
And Donald Trump asked his assistants to charge his phone for him.
93%, so that's pretty powerful. They could have done more, but that's okay. I say to him, you've been great. You could do more, but they've done a lot.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
If you've listened to the show before, you'd know that each week we ask, beg, nay, plead for 5-star reviews on the iTunes podcast store, a.k.a. the Collective Noun forum, a.k.a. the happiest place on the internet.
And look, it is so easy to get into the Collective Noun forum. All you have to do is search for Collective Noun on iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating as your ticket price into the forum. Write whatever you want in the review, and we will read it out on the show. Can I just say, Zach, you're starting this segment every week from now a different part of the studio. That one was from the door. You started it
there. I walked straight in this studio.
Yep.
And we're into it.
Well, I guess.
I want you to have the mics recording as soon as I pull the car in.
It's somewhat similar to a kid who maybe gets to a theme park and they're just running through the turnstiles. They can't wait. They're ready to go. Yes. And that's you in the forum.
100%. I cannot contain my excitement. It's bursting out my body.
Great. Well, the first person that we have visiting us in the forum tonight, Zach, is Steffi H1. Who has a point about something I mentioned recently about when I was younger using the body wash, shampoo, conditioner combination. How I would use, you know, the same thing to wash my hair that I used to wash my skin.
Was I part of this conversation?
Yes, it was on the show. Because remember, I was speaking about how I only recently found out, years ago.
Oh, that's right. When you were a child, you never washed yourself.
I thought...
It's interesting how you've rephrased the story.
Yeah, I thought soap was optional.
Yes.
I'd wash my hair, sure. But I didn't often wash my... I thought water did the job. Now, that was when I was younger. Anyway, well, Steph has, very detective-like, brought up the story I told last year on the show, Zach, about me being shocked to discover 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. Remember in the supermarket, a woman came up to me and told me about it. I was shocked. And we told that story
on the show. This all makes a whole lot of sense, because if you were never washing yourself...
Yes.
Then, of course... You never knew about 2-for-1 conditioner and shampoo.
Well, Steph has just said, how did Dom know that shampoo, conditioner, body wash combo existed, but didn't know about 2-in-1 shampoo, conditioner until recently?
That's a great point. There's a hole in the matrix.
I mean, I feel as though I've been caught red-handed on this one. Yeah. The truth to the matter is, I suppose I could have used my powers of deduction to realize that if there was a shampoo, conditioner, body wash, there was probably shampoo, conditioner.
What
there.
You're trying to do, Steph, is apply logic and deduction to Dom's thought patterns. Yeah. And that's going to leave you empty-handed because none of these thoughts are connected. That's what you have to learn about Dom. They're all independent of each other and there's no crossover. You'd think you have one experience, you learn from that. You make your next decision in the context of your last decision. Not Dom.
No.
Nothing's learnt. It's fresh every time, baby.
Well, isn't that what they say? Do things differently. Be yourself.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
You know how
That's
people
me.
Say some people look at the world like they're looking at it for the first time?
Yep.
That's Dom every day. He goes, I didn't learn anything. I know nothing. And I'm sprinting through the world and I don't care what I knock over.
Well, look, thank you for dropping by, Steph. We also have Maddie and Marty, who have run straight off to the carousel they want to go and have a go on. Reader Z95 is next in the Collective Noun Forum. Welcome in, Reader. Now, they're mentioning a story I told last week, Zach, about how my mum thought she failed her driving test because the test has had a pass-fail quota. So I think she said she went on a Friday afternoon, they failed her, even though she said she didn't do anything wrong, and her theory is that they had a pass-fail quota and they had to fail it before the weekend.
It seemed... like a conspiracy.
Yeah, I'd say my mum was on a conspiracy. And Reader Z95 said, it's true. Apparently, their dad went for his test in a small community with the local police officer, and the police officer told their dad that he'd failed because the officer had to fill the fail quota, and their dad had to come back the next day to pass the test. Now, this puts a whole new spin. I feel like we might have uncovered a massive scandal here, Zach. Okay. I don't know if we go straight to Tracy Grimshaw. That's an option.
I don't think it's quite the smoking gun you're looking for.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, your mum also thought that she invented baby chinos, which we've proven that she hasn't.
No, we didn't prove. She's still adamant. She's furious about that, by the way. She said, get Zach to speak to me. I definitely invented them.
So what, she thinks she'll be able to convince me by a conversation?
She does, yeah. She's adamant. You know what? She's convinced me. I reckon she invented them. Hmm. The evidence is pretty strong.
Yeah, but you didn't know about 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner until only 12 months ago.
Are you saying I'm gullible?
Yes.
Fair call. But the interesting thing here is, Zach, you know that I failed my learner's test, the written test, 5 times.
That's right. You're known at the place still. You went back recently to renew your license and they said you still hold the record.
Yes. Well, what I'm wondering now after hearing about this, was that a conspiracy? Did they have a pass-fail quota and I just happened to...
I don't think so because I think a written test is less subjective. You know, you have right and wrong answers, whereas like a driving test, there's maybe a little more wiggle room.
No, that's a good point. And they did show me the exact questions I got wrong, and I definitely did get them wrong. But I'd love to be able to put that down.
I just don't like to start the precedent that every time you fail a test, Dom, you start saying it's a conspiracy.
A lot of conspiracies in high school. Generally, a lot of conspiracies. I have thought, has this ever crossed your mind since you left high school?
Yeah.
How subjective the grading of assignments was?
In English?
Yeah.
Essays? Yes.
I mean, I think it really mattered if the teacher liked you or not. I think that actually played a big factor.
I believe that teachers don't show a bias.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. I'm just saying it might totally validate my decision to befriend the teachers in high school.
No.
I reckon...
Hey, can you tell us what happened, by the way? You were saying last night that you might be going on a holiday with a teacher. Has that progressed?
Yeah, Mr. Kelly was going to come on the New Zealand holiday with my parents and I in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I told you earlier today that Dad has put a stop to that.
Yes, I'm baiting you into a story.
Dad has said Mr. Kelly can't come on the holiday under any circumstances, unfortunately.
It's not often that I can recall my parents saying that, you know, my neighbourhood friends couldn't stay over for the night. They never said, no, your former teacher won't be coming on holiday with us.
Well, it's funny. So
you know, here's the funny thing, though. Mm. Your dad can't stop you.
What do you mean?
This is what... You're an adult.
Yeah, I know.
If you want to go on a holiday with your friend, you're allowed to do that.
No, but I want to go with my teacher and my parents.
Oh, well, you can't have it all. Yeah. You want to have it all and you can't, Dom.
Yeah.
You can't be trekking around New Zealand with all your besties. You have to pick one.
Look, it is the great dilemma of life, isn't it? That you can't get all the riches you want. You got to make some decisions. Ultimately, I think I'm going to go with my parents. Mr. Kelly's going to be pretty upset about that.
Yeah. Was he on board?
He was keen.
You pitched it at him.
I pitched it at him. He was going to check with his wife, but he was pretty keen to come along.
Does he get along with your parents?
Yeah.
Similar age, aren't they?
They get on pretty well. So I think, I thought it would be a great trip, but Dad's thing was he said we should keep it as a family break. You saw the end of this when you were at my place earlier today.
Yeah.
Dad and I had a long discussion earlier this morning about this.
Yeah.
Where Dad put a stop to it. So yeah.
Your dad didn't seem impressed.
No, that's one way to
put
it.
Do you think that your dad wants you all for himself? And you're like, there's plenty of Dom to go around, guys.
No, well, my theory at the moment is that my dad has decided at 24 he has to intervene in my life to lay safe.
And
safe
yet
some
he's
element.
Still happy for you to go on holidays with them.
Oh, I think going on holidays with your parents is... A lot of people do that. Granted, I've heard of less people going on holidays with former teachers. That one is a bit rarer. That is rarer.
But also you live with your parents. We went through this last year.
Yeah.
So, if you don't live with your parents and you're going on holidays with your parents, it's time to catch up with your parents. You don't need to catch up with your parents. Also, your other siblings aren't going. It's just you. So it's not a family trip.
Actually, there is one awkward part of the whole holidaying with mum and dad thing.
One awkward thing.
The dates we've booked happen to cross over on their wedding anniversary.
That's what happened last year as well.
Yeah, I know. And so what happens is ultimately they end up sharing their wedding anniversary with me. We go out to the dinner, the three of us. And honestly...
Why don't you let them go to dinner that night? Surely you can entertain yourself for one evening.
Yeah, I could do, but they invited me along and I wasn't going to say no to the invite. But it is interesting because they brought out this happy anniversary cake and they cut it into three parts for the three of us.
Jeez. I can just see in the movie, it would be your mum and your dad and a violinist in a really romantic thing at the table. Then we would zoom out to reveal that you'd been there the whole time and you're hoeing into beef ribs. And sauce is going everywhere.
That is all we've got time for on the forum tonight. If you do want to be a part of it, we'd love to have you on board. All you have to do is search for Collective Noun on iTunes, leave a 5-star rating as your admission price into the forum, write whatever you want in the review, and we'll read it out next time on the show.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Now, Zach, there's a bit of a global movement that's begun on Twitter to get rid of voicemails forever, to ban voicemails, which I am wholeheartedly on board for. They have caused me so much anxiety in my lifetime.
You have talked to me about this before. You don't like leaving voicemails because you feel like that it's too much pressure. It's like your time to shine. You get one moment. You're recorded. You're on there forever.
You get one take. They should have warm-up voicemails or something like that because I've even made the mistake with a prospective boss once.
Yeah.
Called him. Went to voicemail, wasn't expecting it to, and I just kind of stumbled and went I'll call you back. And he didn't know who it was. He didn't know what the number was. And that was my first impression. Voicemails have messed me up one too many times. I'm done with them.
I feel fine with voicemails.
Okay. Well, don't you?
I've explained this to you before. All you need to do when it beeps is you say, "Hi, my name is."
Yeah.
I'm calling about. Please call me back on this number. It's pretty simple. There's no mucking around. You don't have to be umming and ahhing.
No, but
you don't have to be worried about the boss.
The thing is, when you're preparing to call somebody, right, you are expecting to explain what you want to talk about maybe in numerous minutes. And then suddenly you have to change tact within seconds when you hear that it's gone to voicemail. Within seconds you have to change tact and brief your message down. And I just think that's so much pressure. You can't do it on the spot.
That one that you stuffed up with your prospective boss.
Yep.
How did that end up? Did you end up getting the job or did you stuff it up?
Well, I did end up actually getting the job. Yep. So that worked out on that occasion, but he did rib me about it for many years. About, hey, remember that first voicemail you left, Dom? Nearly didn't hire you. So,
I would like to offer you, as a coach, the chance to redeem yourself on that message. I'd like to role play with you.
Okay, yep.
I'll play the boss.
Okay.
And you get an opportunity.
Yeah.
To leave the message that you always wanted to leave. Do you think you'll be able to do that? This is your time to set the record straight.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I like the opportunity. So it's kind of voicemail training in a sense as well. Just getting, seeing if I can do it now, all these years on.
What I would also like you to do, see that it's all these years on. You're also a radio announcer now.
Yeah.
So I would imagine talking into a microphone, being recorded is what you do professionally. So I'm hoping for a bit more pizzazz as well. So not only should you turn it around and not get nervous, but I want to hear this voice message and think I'm going to hire that guy straight away.
All right, if I can do this, then everyone around the country can confront their voicemail anxieties on this.
Okay, you ready to role play?
All right, let's role play. So
we'll
ringing
the number in, okay, and we're going to ring. We're going to ring the boss. You ready to drop your message? Well, actually, you know what?
Mm.
You're never ready in real life. It's just sprung on you.
That's true. All right, well, I've dialed in the number.
You have reached the boss. Please leave a message
already?
After the beep.
Crap. Right. Hey there. Sorry, this is Dom Fay here. Just getting in touch about that resume I sent through. Would just like to chat about the prospect of me going for the job. If you get a minute, can you call me back?
That wasn't good enough. Please try again.
Hello, this is Dom.
Seriously, Dom, what are you doing? There is no way you are getting this job. Try again.
Okay, well, I don't admire the sass.
Hey, mate, this is all recording. Come on, your boss is hearing this.
I've never heard that sort of sass in a voice.
You only have 10 seconds.
Okay, hello, this is Dom. I'd just really like to apply for this job.
Not too late.
What?
Okay, that's enough. You're just embarrassing yourself at this stage. Okay. I think it's best if we just call it quits here and never talk of it again.
You had one chance to redeem yourself, and you made a mess of it. I think that boss will hear that and regret hiring you all those years ago. You might get fired retrospectively.
They didn't even pay me. It was a volunteer position. It's a funny thing. Anyway, that is all we've got time for on the show tonight. If you want any of the full feedback, you can search for Collective Out on iTunes.
Yes. You almost didn't get a volunteer position?
Yeah.
They almost didn't let you do a job that you weren't going to be paid for.
That's how bad the voicemail was, Zach. And so I'll be taking off the volunteer roster at this rate. Anyway, that's all for tonight. We'll see you tomorrow at 10.
Bye.
That's all from Collective Noun. Grab podcasts and videos online on Facebook at Collective Noun Comedy.